Today is the 28th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Black Friday, right? This is official holiday Christmas season now, right? It's every marketing tool in the book will be thrown, every sale, every advantage, everything to move us to celebrate Christmas in a way of giving gifts, which is a beautiful thing. It can kind of be an overwhelming thing, but if we stay rooted and grounded into what we're doing and why we're doing it, then may it be a blessed and beautiful Advent season for us. So I am grateful, deeply, deeply grateful to be here with you today, taking another step forward on this grand journey that is the Bible in community in a year. So we have worked our way all the way up to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. We are in the book of Daniel at this point. Today, Daniel Chapter 5. King Belshazzar held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine in their presence. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar gave orders to bring in the gold and silver vessels that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, wives and concubines, could drink from them. So they brought in the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, wives and concubines, drank from them. They drank the wine and praised their gods made of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. At that moment, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the king's palace wall next to the lampstand. As the king watched the hand that was writing, his face turned pale, and his thoughts so terrified him that he soiled himself, and his knees knocked together. The king shouted to bring in the mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners. He said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this inscription and gives me its interpretation will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain around his neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom." So all the king's wise men came in, but none could read the inscription or make its interpretation known to him. Then King Belshazzar became even more terrified. His face turned pale, and his nobles were bewildered. Because of the outcry of the king and his nobles, the queen came to the banquet hall. "May the king live forever," she said. "Don't let your thoughts terrify you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has a spirit of the holy gods in him. In the days of your predecessor, he was found to have insight, intelligence, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods. Your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners. Your own predecessor, the king, did this because Daniel, the one the king named Belshazzar, was found to have an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and intelligence, and the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems. Therefore, summon Daniel, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought before the king. The king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the Judean exiles that my predecessor, the king, brought from Judah? I've heard that you have a spirit of the gods in you, and that insight, intelligence, and extraordinary wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and mediums were brought before me to read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not give its interpretation. However, I have heard about you that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Therefore, if you can read this inscription and give me its interpretation, You will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain around your neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts and give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription for the king and make the interpretation known to him. Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, greatness, glory, and majesty to your predecessor Nebuchadnezzar. Because of the greatness he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages were terrified and fearful of him. He killed anyone he wanted and kept alive anyone he wanted. He exalted anyone he wanted and humbled anyone he wanted. But when his heart was exalted and his spirit became arrogant, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven away from people. His mind was like an animal's. He lived with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until he acknowledged that the Most High God is ruler over human kingdoms and sets anyone he wants over them. But you, his successor, Belshazzar, have not humbled your hearts, even though you knew all this. Instead, you have exalted yourself against the Lord of the heavens. The vessels from his house were brought to you, and as you and your nobles, wives, and concubines drank wine from them, you praised the gods made of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which you do not see or hear or understand. But you have not glorified the God who holds your life breath in his hand, and who controls the whole course of your life. Therefore, he sent the hand, and this writing was inscribed." This is the writing that was inscribed: "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Emparsin." This is the interpretation of the message. "Mene means that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel means that you have been weighed on the balance and found deficient. Perez means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then Belshazzar gave an order, and they clothed Daniel in purple, placed a gold chain around his neck, and issued a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. Second Peter 2. "There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories. Their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. For if God didn't spare the angels who sinned, but cast them into hell, and delivered them in chains of utter darkness to be kept for judgment, and if he didn't spare the ancient world, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, when he brought the flood on the world of the ungodly, and if he reduced the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes and condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is coming to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, distressed by the depraved behavior of the immoral, for as that righteous man lived among them day by day, his righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who follow the polluting desires of the flesh and despise authority. Bold, arrogant people. They are not afraid to slander the glorious ones. However, angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a slanderous charge against them before the Lord. But these people, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct born to be caught and destroyed, slander what they do not understand, and in their destruction they too will be destroyed. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. They consider it a pleasure to carouse in broad daylight. They are spots and blemishes, delighting in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery that never stop looking for sin. They seduce unstable people and have hearts trained in greed. Children under a curse. They have gone astray by abandoning the straight path and have followed the path of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness but received a rebuke for his lawlessness. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water, mists driven by a storm. The gloom of darkness has been reserved for them, for by uttering boastful, empty words, they seduce with fleshly desires and debauchery people who have barely escaped from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. For if, having escaped the world's impurity through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in these things and defeated, the last state is worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy command delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, "A dog returns to its own vomit, and a washed sow returns to wallowing in the mud." Psalm 119, 113 through 128. Samech. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your instruction. You are my shelter and my shield. I put my hope in your word. Depart from me, you evil ones, so that I may obey my God's commands. Sustain me as you promised, and I will live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Sustain me so that I can be safe and always be concerned about your statutes. You reject all who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is a lie. You remove all the wicked on earth, as if they were dross from metal. Therefore I love your decrees. I tremble in awe of you. I fear your judgments. Ayin. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Guarantee your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes grow weary looking for your salvation and for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant based on your faithful love. Teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding, so that I may know your decrees. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have violated your instruction. Since I love your commands more than gold, even the purest gold, I carefully follow all your precepts and hate every false way. Proverbs 28, 19 and 20. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. A faithful person will have many blessings, but one in a hurry to get rich will not go unpunished. Okay, in 2 Peter today, Peter is quite agitated, very distinctly agitated, even kind of going off against false teachers. And these were people who had come to faith and maybe even had risen to prominence and influence, but were falling away from the core essentials of the gospel and were leading others to do the same thing. And it wasn't only in matters of like doctrine. These people were using their gifting and their influence and their deception to exploit the weak. And Peter describes it. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in the broad of daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even while they're eating with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes, and their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. So, I mean, we can see why Peter hasn't got a lot of fondness for these characteristics. And we should note that the kind of false teacher Peter described is not the same as what is so prevalent in our culture, especially all over social media, of just labeling and slandering and destroying people by mislabeling them as a false teacher. And maybe they are, but there's this kind of custom of just slandering people who ask important and difficult questions of the faith. And that is terribly misguided, terribly destructive, and the kind of person that Peter's talking about. So wrestling with our faith in pursuit of Jesus, in pursuit of revelation, in pursuit of understanding, that has always been a part of the Christian tradition. That has always been a part of the Hebrew tradition. So Peter's distinction was that false teachers knew what they were doing intentionally and maliciously, and were using deception for their own selfish gain. That is a different story. And we found out why Peter is so upset about these kinds of things. He says, when people escape from the wickedness of the world by coming to know the Lord and Savior Jesus, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they end up worse off than they were before. It would be better for them if they never knew the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject it after they were given life as a holy person. They prove the truth of a proverb: a dog returns to its vomit. So even though Peter is speaking forcefully against false teachers who lead people by malicious deception away, he was concerned about those who fell away into sin. And he uses very graphic imagery: a dog returning to its vomit. We may have seen this happen. Like, I'm fed dogs a lot of my life, and I've seen this happen, and it's disgusting, right? So the dog is hacking it up, like wheezing, and then all of a sudden they barf all over the floor or whatever, and then they kind of walk in circles and come back and smell it. Maybe walk in circles some more and come back and smell it, and maybe then lap it up. Oh my gosh. And maybe they do that to another dog. That is disgusting, right? That is disgusting. So this imagery is like visceral, Peter is using, saying when we return to a sinful past, to a life of deception, to what we know is wrong, it's like puking in a bowl and then getting a spoon and eating it like it's soup. Disgusting. That sounds so disgusting. Because according to Peter, it is so disgusting. So may we consider the starkness of this kind of imagery, the visceral reaction that it gives, and apply it to the context of our own lives. Because if we would be honest and get self-reflective, we're eating puke. We are doing this in different areas of our lives. And so, what sewage are we going back to? Because we have deceived ourselves, or are living in deception, or have been deceived into believing that it's something to desire. What influences have we allowed over those around us or with us, in which we are inviting them to follow us into the disgusting practices? Man, this is like no joke. And this is like, Peter isn't, this is not a joke. These are tough questions, important, self-aware, self-reflective questions. Peter's argument is, why would you choose to eat this? Why would you choose to go back to this, knowing what it has done to you, instead of staying at the banquet table of peace and safety in the presence of God? Why would you do this? So let's invite the Holy Spirit into that question. Because ultimately, none of us want to be controlled, right? Like, it's a big deal. Stop controlling me. None of us want to be controlled, but we are controlled by what we give power over us to. We are a slave to whatever controls us. And if we're going to return to our own vomit, what is it that's controlling us? It's the Holy Spirit. We give you control. We give you control. And we ask you to shine the light of truth into these questions. And you are. Like, we're sitting here praying this prayer already knowing what we keep returning to, that we know is like returning to a pile of puke and eating it. And it's disgusting. It is disgusting. And it systematically dismantles our peace and our identity till we don't even know who we are anymore, or how we got here, or how to get out. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. It is where to get connected, stay connected, find out what's going on around here. Christmas time now, right? It's Christmas time around here. Oh man, a couple days, the season of Advent will begin. And this is the day known as Black Friday, so everybody's getting every Black Friday mailer and ad and push and deal. There are things going on here around the Daily Eddie Bible. The Daily Eddie Bible Christmas box, which is a very, very unique, very special box this year. We have one every year. This one's really centered around the fact that this is the 20th year of Daily Eddie Bible, and we're kind of commemorating that. So this year we have the Daily Eddie Bible Christmas blend, which is a chocolate hazelnut that we bring out at Christmas, as well as the 20th anniversary reserve Southern Pecan Wind Farm coffee. So a couple of really, really delicious holiday coffees to take through the season. And then the commemorative box, the coin. We created a 20th anniversary coin in a numbered box with its own unique metal-plated numbered card. And those are beautiful, and they have the Daily Audi Bible mission in them. And man, they... very, very special piece of memorabilia. Very special piece of Daily Audi Bible history that will only exist now. Like, this is the only time we'll have this. The Daily Eddie Bible Christmas ornament that we have every year with the word for this year, which was safe, which is safe. I look forward to talking about that some more, but it is a beautiful ornament with the 20th anniversary logo. And then the wristband with next year's word is included. And just a letter from Jill and I. And we signed them all ourselves because it's personal. Meaningful. So check out the Christmas box in the Daily Audi Bible shop. Also, the breathing prayer. Those are back in stock for Christmas. We had had sold out of them, so they are available for Christmas while supplies last. Also, a couple of other items are in the store for the holiday season. We've had a word of the year for a lot of the years of Daily Audi Bible. Not all of them, but a lot of the years. And so we created commemorative yearly coins with the word of the year for every year. And so if you've been here for 10 years, then you know the 10 words that we kind of had and lived through. If you've been here 15 or 5 or 2 or whatever, all the different years with all the different words are in commemorative coins, and those are in the Daily Audio Bible shop, as well as packs of the wristbands. There's one in the Christmas box, but we have 4 different colors, and those have always been ways to invite others. People have always had them on hand or taken them off their wrist and given to somebody so they could find Daily Audio Bible and take the journey. They make great stocking stuffers, and so check out those resources in the Daily Audi Bible shop for Christmas. If you want to partner with the Daily Audi Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day, offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around a simple rhythm of just showing up every day, showing up for ourselves, showing up for each other. Nobody has to be alone in this. If that has been meaningful to you, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is all for today. I am Brian, and I love you. and I'll be waiting for you here. Tomorrow.
Is Girl Warrior in Alabama. This is God's Life Speaker in Pennsylvania. I am so glad you're doing your gratefuls. And you know what? You called in. I'm behind. So it's November 24th and I'm only on November 8th community prayers. And you were saying how you really wanted to write things out and maybe this just becomes a generic gratefulness. You know what? It is not generic. It is coming from your heart. And God doesn't always want us to plan things out. He will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you whatever the grateful is for that day. And we just smile, one, because we recognize your voice and you don't seem to come on too much during the year. So we love that you're here and that you're doing this again. I am grateful that you have decided to be grateful and to bring gratefulness to our community on a daily basis for the month of November. Heavenly Father, would you just bless his girl warrior? And there is no stress in gratefulness. Let her gratefulness just flow. And whatever time she happens to call on the day in November, bless her and give her the words. Use her as your vessel. We are grateful for her. And may you just continue to bless her as she blesses us. And we're going to pray that in your son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. I just got through listening to the AB for November the 25th, and I wanted to pray for Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Westchester, Virginia. I understand the cry of a mother's heart, especially when you see your son or any child suffering, and especially when you're looking at the cliff that they may possibly go off because of their unwillingness to heed the warning. So, Father, I just uplift this young man and this mother to you. Father, you hear the cries of a mother's heart. You know even the secret prayers that she prays that only you know about. And I'm asking you to intervene in this situation and help this young man see the wisdom that his mother has, and I'm sure other people in his life want him to take care of himself. So Father, intervene in the way that you can get to him. And so Father, we just ask you to keep him until such a time as when hopefully that you can intervene and get him the help that he needs. And I also pray for the other family members that she talked about. Father, you are the God of all comfort. Come in, bless each and every one of them in that family with your peace, your presence, your power, your love, your mercy and grace over all of them. And show up in their lives that they may see that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that they ask or think. Blessings to everyone out there. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Love you all. Praying daily for each one of you all. Blessings and love. Have a good day.
Hi, this is Dawn Rising in Michigan, and this prayer goes to Lucy in Alabama. I pray as God told Elijah that the oil would not run out of the widow's jar until rain was sent. I pray that your medicine will not run out until it is able to be produced again in January. So praying for you for peace and knowing that God will provide and that your medicine will not run out. Asking God for protection over your heart and so that you will not have a buildup of platelets to cause a stroke or a heart attack. So I'm praying for protection over your body during this time and asking for peace to trust that this will be provided for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes, this is Skip Morgan. I'm asking for prayer. I'm just feeling very weak, physically weak. And just kind of down, depressed. So if you would, please remember me in your prayers. Thank you very much. I love the daily audio.